You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Essence and the martial arts. Or, rolling around on the ground with another man is icky. A scenario that has played out more than once in my teaching experience goes something like this. A student asks for instruction in defense against knife attacks. I fetch two training knives, and I hand one to the student. He then recoils in horror as if his grandmother had just tried to hand him a sex toy.
No! No! No!
I don't want to learn to use a knife, he says, aghast. I want to learn to defend myself against one. I don't carry a knife, and I don't intend to carry a knife in the future. When confronted with these feelings, I explain that he needn't carry a knife, and that more than rehearsed responses are needed if you want to stand a chance against a knife-wielding assailant. In my opinion, it's difficult to impossible to stand a decent chance of defending against a knife attack if you are completely unfamiliar with at least the rudiments of knife fighting. A vital part of defense in any situation lies with your ability to perceive and assess an incoming attack. Is it probing or committed? Low line or high line? Thrusting or slashing? Standard grip or reverse grip? Right-handed or left-handed, from the lead hand or the rear hand. The ability to observe and assess these and other aspects is greatly enhanced through training with the knife. When you know from personal experience what a knife man wants and does not want to happen, it increases your chances of survival, even when facing him empty-handed. Thus, to me, a complete program of training in defense against the knife should include knife versus knife fighting, empty hand training against the knife, and playing the role of the knife fighter going against the empty-handed man. I've seen phenomena similar to this distaste for knife training when teaching other phases of martial arts. I've met people who want to learn to defend against striking attacks, but somehow feel degraded by what they perceive as the distasteful violence of actually practicing striking, even when it only entails striking bags or other inanimate objects. I've also met people who want to be able to counter a submission grappler, but recoil at the thought of actually rolling around on the ground with a sweaty man. One reason for these types of behavior is a form of magical thinking to which our fallible brains are prone, and in which we react to what brain and behavioral scientists refer to as essence. Essence is an imaginary quality assigned to an object, animal, or person, and can be described a number of ways. There can be positive essence or negative essence. It can best be described as an imaginary, supernatural trace or taint clinging to the object, animal, or person. This includes when you experience a feeling of revulsion for something that you feel is tainted, an affection or even reverence for something that you feel carries the essence of something, or someone you like or admire. For example, a memento or good luck charm. A typical thought experiment to illustrate this goes something like this. Would you wear a sweater that was once worn by a serial killer? If the answer is no, then why not? Would you accept the donation of a heart or other organ for transplant from a child molester? Again, if no, why not? In reality, there's no logical reason to answer no to either question. Neither the serial killer nor the child molester will have left any essence of their personality on or in the sweater or the heart. We humans, however, have evolved emotional response to things we find disgusting. This is actually a very important and effective survival trait. The ability to recognize the sight and smell of things we should avoid is important. Disgust helps us avoid food that has gone bad, decomposing bodies, or feces. Long before humans knew about the dangers posed by bacteria, viruses, fungi, protozoa, and other pathogens, we had developed a healthy emotional response of disgust and revulsion to the sights and smells generated by these little critters. The problem comes when we extend these feelings to things we find disgusting for reasons that are cultural rather than biological. Superstition and prejudice are major causes of this. Superstition leads to disgust regarding things, animals, or people we think of as evil, unclean, or unlucky. Depending on the culture, this can be a person, an animal, a place, a symbol, a word, an object, or even a thought. Prejudice can lead us to think of a certain type of person as inferior, and thus tainted. I don't need to describe racial prejudice to most Americans. Prejudice rears its head, however, wherever humans dwell. Up until very recently, the lowest caste of society in India were called untouchables. In many cultures, ignorance and superstition have caused women to be shunned or even locked away during their menstrual period. Homosexuals were burned at the stake in medieval and Renaissance Europe. On a less horrifying note, how many of us as children have not heard that the weird-looking kid has cooties? The negative version of essence can come in many flavors. I've already described the situation of the individual who was reluctant to hold a practice knife as if it were somehow tainted. This stems from an abhorrence to violence, a trait that I actually happen to share. The difference is that I ascribe no evil taint of violence to a tool or a technique. I've been training with both practice and live weapons for more than 4 decades. If anything, the familiarity with weapons that I have developed has given me a greater respect for the damage that they can do than you might find in an untrained individual. As a result, I have an even more mature understanding of violence and a greater desire to avoid it than I would have had before I was trained. I have trained in the striking arts for an even longer amount of time with the same results. Please don't misunderstand me. I not only respect pacifism, I consider myself to be a pacifist. But as I said in the last episode, a person who is not competent in at least rudimentary self-defense skills can no more claim to be a pacifist than a eunuch can claim to be a celibate. As for those male martial artists who find grappling with other men somehow icky, you need to get over yourself and your homophobia. If you can't find it within yourself to do that, then I'm glad you'll be easy meat for any competent submission grappler you may encounter. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.